I invite your attention with me this morning to the book of Matthew and chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. Happy New Year to you. Trust that all of you are excited about the possibility of the upcoming year that God has given us another year here on this earth. But I think this is also a very fitting time to look at this particular parable. This is probably going to lean me towards the closing of this little series. We've been studying on the parables for a while, but within the parables we've been looking at what I call kingdom conduct parables. And I may preach one more or two more, but how we as citizens of Christ's kingdom should conduct ourselves and help teach us how we should behave or how we should act, Christ gives parables to help relate to us, to make it very practical to us what he expects for us as citizens of his kingdom. And so today we're going to read about the parable of the talents, the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, and we'll begin reading with verse 14 and read the verse 30. Matthew 25, 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, or have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The parable of talents, and I've really sort of given this a subtitle, and I want to call it the tragedy of wasted opportunity. The tragedy of wasted opportunity. In 1986, when I was just a young teenage boy, there was a prolific basketball star named Len Bias. Some of you may remember him. Len Bias, who played for Maryland, he was an incredible talent with huge potential. He was chosen 2nd in the NBA draft to play for the Boston Celtics. A young man who had come from poor family, this was a dream come true. But 2 days after the draft, he overdosed on drugs and died. It was shocking to me, really, to hear of his death. This amazing athlete with his whole life in front of him died from an overdose of cocaine. For days, and even for several weeks, the sports news went on and on about what a huge waste of potential and a huge waste of talent that this was. Sadly, this young man joined the statistics of many others whose potential for greatness and success was erased by a series of poor decisions. The parable that we have before us should remind all of us that we are all only given a certain amount of time here on earth to use the gifts and abilities that God has given us, and we must be cautious not to waste it all away because of a series of poor decisions. I want to speak on this parable, three simple thoughts: the characters in the parable, the events of the parable, and the application of the parable. The character, the events, and the application. And I want you to notice with me that this parable piggybacks right on the 10 virgins that is in front of it. The beginning of Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the 10 virgins, and this particular parable just piggybacks right on it. As a matter of fact, if you want to look at verse 14, you may not notice this, but as you're reading the words, "the kingdom of heaven is in italics." Now, what does that tell us when we read that in our King James Bibles, that when it's in italics, it wasn't in the original, but it is given to us by the translators to help us understand the narrative or to understand what is being said. So really, you must take the parable of the 10 virgins, and we'll preach that, and I'll get into that one of these days, and maybe soon, but essentially, the parable of the 10 virgins is you don't know when the Lord's coming, but He's coming, and you need to be ready for when He comes. But to just continue that thought, and that's what this parable is just a continuation of that same thought, that not only is the Lord coming and we don't know when, but until He comes, we need to be working. We need to be using the talents, and we'll clarify that God has given us before He comes back. We only have a certain amount of time. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. Do you believe today that Christ is coming back? Do you hold to that conviction that the Lord is coming back? We don't know when that is. We only know that we have a certain amount of time here on this earth. Whether it is 2 days, 2 years, or 2 decades or more, we don't know how much time we have, but we know we have a limited amount of time. We need to be not just watching and not just waiting, but we need to be working.
Amen.
For the Lord is coming. Right on the heels of that parable of the 10 virgins, there is this declaration that not only should we be vigilant, we need to also be diligent and stay busy. The greatest honor, listen to me, child of God, the greatest honor that any of us could ever hope for as mere mortals, will you hear this? Is to one day enter in the place called heaven and hear these words: "Well done,
Amen,
thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
That's as good as you could ask for as a mortal here on earth. And God has given to every one of us, listen to me, every one of us, gifts and abilities, talents in a broad sense, that we are to use to serve Him. We're not to hide them. We're not to hoard them. But we are to use them.
Amen.
Let this question permeate your mind as we work our way through this narrative today. What have I done? What have I done with the gifts and abilities that God has given me? Isn't that a great New Year sermon?
Amen.
Isn't that a great idea to think about for this upcoming year?
Amen.
First of all, notice for me the characters revealed to us in this parable. In verses 14 and 15, we find a traveling man, a man who's getting ready to go on a far journey. And the Lord says, "The kingdom of heaven," with the italics, building on this, "is like a man traveling into a far country." And what does he do? He gathers together his servants and delivers unto them his goods. Now, not knowing how long he's going to be gone, you know, it's a different world today than what it was then. Now, when we want to go on a journey, we say, "I want to leave on January the 19th, I got my plane ticket bought, and I'm going to return on January the 27th. Different world. Then you would leave to go on a journey. You don't know how long you may be gone. Weather would dictate how far you could travel in a certain day. If you were traveling on a day like today by horseback or camel, you probably want to stay at home in a tent instead of fighting all that nastiness outside, right? And so this guy's going on a long journey. He's going to a far country, and he doesn't know how long he's going to be gone. But while he's gone, he doesn't want his money and his businesses to just sit idle. He wants them to, in turn, make money. Because if you're not making money, you're losing money. That's just a fact of life. True then, true now. And so before he goes, he gathers together three of his servants, and he distributes to them, each one, a number of talents. Look what it says, verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Notice these words: to every man according to his several ability. In other words, not everybody got the same thing. But this Lord, or this master, or this ruler, whatever word we want to use for him, knows his servants well enough to know which ones I can depend on more than others. Now listen, if you've been in business or management or a supervisor in any way at all, even with as a parent to your children, you know that there are just some people, some individuals that you can just count on more than others. Right? Isn't that just a fact of life? There are some people, if you're a business owner and you're wanting to take a couple weeks off, but you're not going to close your business down because if you're not making money, you're losing money, and you're a business owner and you want to take a couple weeks off with your family, there's certain people you know, if I leave this person in charge, they're going to take care of business. They're going to run it just like I'd run it. They'd make good decisions. They'll take care of the customer. You just, you know, fill in the blank. However, you also know, if I leave this person in charge, I don't know what it's going to be like when I come back. When I was in management, I had some very solid help, and I had some not so solid help. There were times when I would take off to go on our annual vacation, and I'd know things are going to be fine when I get back. And there were other times when I'd take off to go on vacation, and I knew good and well, it's going to be a mess when I get back because it's not going to be taken care of like it should. And this man who is a wealthy man knows this as well. And so in order to put the right talents with the right men, he delivers 5 unto one, 2 unto another, and 1 unto another servant. He realizes, he knows that some are just more trustworthy or some are more dependable. And so he gives to them 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent. And I want to take just a minute to develop that word talent, okay? So when we hear the word talent today, we think of it in the Americanized version of it. America's Got Talent, right? That's how we think of the word talent. But in the translation, at the time when the Lord is speaking of this, the talent really doesn't have anything to do with gifts and abilities, although it applies to what we're saying. A talent, and it wasn't even a measure of money. A talent was a measure of weight. A talent was a measure of weight, anywhere from 60 to 90 pounds of gold or silver, depending on whether you use the Roman, Persian, or Greek weights. In other words, simply, he delivers to them a huge sum of money. Amen. A 60-pound bag full of money. A talent would be a 60 to 90-pound bag full of coins of worth. If we were to put it in today's currency, based on an average hourly rate, 40 hours a week, X amount of dollars for a year, a talent would work out to somewhere around $600,000 if we put it in today's currency, okay? So this man is a wealthy man, right? And he also must have some confidence in his servants because he's leaving this one servant 5 talents, and if each talent's worth $600,000 currently, he's leaving 1 talent in charge of $3 million. The other one he's leaving in charge of $1.2 million. The third he's leaving in charge of $600,000. $1,000. That's a lot of money by anybody's standards, right? So this is a wealthy man who's going on his journey. And if you may just allow, just think about this. This wealthy man's also going to take some money with him, right? He ain't gonna go hungry on his long journey. He's going to take some money so that when he travels, he's comfortable and he has what he needs through this long time. So this is a wealthy man who entrusts his servants with various amounts of money, wanting them to invest those talents back into his, can I say kingdom, back into his rule, back into his own domain, into his own household, so that it would grow, so that it would flourish while he's gone. So we have then a traveling man, but then we also have two faithful servants. Verses 16 and 17, we find these two faithful servants. In verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. So the first servant who's given 5 talents, he takes and does business with it, trades with it. He invested in some way. I put in my notes, I just thought it was kind of cute. He started his own chariot business. He opened his own chariot business right there in Jerusalem. He started building and producing his own chariots. And I'm just cutting up, but you understand the point. He takes that $5 million that he's given and he turns around and makes money. And in fact, he doubles the money. He has not just the 5 million or 5 talents that was originally given to him, 3 million, forgive me my math getting mixed up, the 3 million or the 5 talents that were given to him, but he doubles that and he winds up with double the amount of talents, double the amount of money. And the same thing happens in verse number 17 with the other one. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2. So this guy, he takes his 2 talents, his 1.2 million, and he opens a bakery in downtown Jerusalem and hires a couple of ladies to get up and make him bread in the mornings. And he runs his bakery shop. And in time, in the years while the traveling man is on his journey, he doubles his 2 talents. But then we run into another character in this story. That's the faithless servant. We have 2 faithful servants, but now we have a faithless servant in verse number 18. What does he do? But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Remember me telling you as we studied other parables together that it would often be the case that the Jews would hide money somewhere on their land in order to protect it, to keep somebody from stealing it. And that's what this faithless servant does. Rather than using the talents that was given to him, he just takes it and hides it in the ground. And the whole time that the lord of the house or the master, the ruler, the whole time that he's gone, he's just having himself a jolly old good time. He's not worried about his master's business, his master's money. He's not worried about his lord's domain or his household. He's just looking out for himself. He takes the money, hides it in the ground, and he does nothing to further his master's estate. Nothing to expand his wealth or his rule. He just goes on his merry way, enjoying life, not giving any thought to the idea that one of these days he will give an account. And that brings us now to the events of the parable. And that is the return of the king. And I just had to use that. I like that expression. The return of the king, or the return of the landowner, the ruler, the master of the house, in verse number 19. And after a long time, years have passed, perhaps even longer, decades now passed, whatever it is, after a long time, the lord of these servants comes. He returns, and what does he do when he comes back? There's a day of reckoning, a day of accounting, a day of him bringing his servants before him and saying to them, what have you done with what I entrusted you? He comes back and he wants to settle accounts. He wants to know, what did you do with the talents that I left you? And then we find the judgment of these faithful servants. In verses 20 through 23, here is their judgment. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 other talents. So isn't that a glorious picture? The man, this traveling man, goes on his journey. He's gone for years. Before he leaves, he hands out these things to his servants. When he comes back, he wants to know, how are my affairs? How's the businesses? What does my portfolio look like? And so he brings before him that first servant. And that servant says, listen, you left me with this big bag, 5 bags, 5 talents. And you know what I've done? I got 5 more. Man, and that's something, the servant himself is happy that he had the privilege of serving his master, and God blessed that he didn't go broke, but he wisely used what he was given, invested it wisely so that he can not only return back the original 5, but 5 more. And when the master hears this, he's pleased. The second servant comes and he does the same thing. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And both the man that's given 5 talents and the man that's given 2 talents are both told the same thing. At the return of the king, at the reckoning, at the judgment, both of them had wisely used what God had given them. And both of them heard the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The one that got 5, the one that got 2. Both heard the same thing. Do you get what I'm saying? God's not going to hold you accountable for what he didn't give you, but only for what he did give you. The one that was given 2 talents was not held responsible for what was given the man that was given 5. He was only held accountable. And I'm preaching to the preacher right now. Not be held accountable for what I haven't been given, but only to be faithful for what I have been given. You get it? You, dear saint, are only accountable for what God has given you. What have you done with what he has given you? Here is the judgment of this kind and generous master. Don't let the language fool you. I'm going to tell you, the kind and generous and gracious ruler says, you've been faithful over little. Isn't it amazing how he calls 5 talents, or what we would call $3 million, you've been faithful over a little. I'll make you ruler over much. And there's some prophetic language there, brothers and sisters. There's a little bit of eschatology mixed in here. That is right. Parable of the virgins, Matthew 24 and 25, is eschatology stuff. I believe there is to be some accountability, recognition, and reward for those who have been faithful to what God's given them. And I'm talking about either in the millennial reign or throughout all of eternity. You've been faithful in a little. God will reward you by letting you be ruler over something. Now, what all that is, I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. There's prophetic utterance in what he is saying right here. You want to be ruler over much in eternity, you better be faithful with a little right now. And he tells him, go rest and relax. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I've been gone a long time. You've been working hard. You've been faithful to me. Now that I'm back, I'm here to rule and reign. You go rest and relax. I've got it from here. But that's the judgment of the faithful servants. What about the judgment of the faithless servant? What is interesting to me is that in this parable, as the Lord gives it, before the ruler, even the master of the house, before he even turns and begins to speak to that third servant, the one given 1 talent, before the master even starts to speak to him, he starts making excuses. It's interesting. He just pushes himself. And the language is that the master of the house is sitting on the bema seat. I mean, that's the language. He's sitting on the seat of judgment. That's what that is. A raised seat of judgment. looking at his servants, saying to them, what have you done? 5 = 5, 2 = 2, 1. And before he even begins to reckon him, the one, the man stands there, one, he starts saying, well, Lord, I it ain't my fault. If I were to summarize what he says, there it is. It's not my fault. Yeah, I know these two fellas, they did real good, but that's not what I did. But don't blame me. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at what he says in verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thy design. Here's your one talent back. And listen, I know that language would be somewhat hard, but I tell you what I believe that he's doing right here is he is not making an accurate judgment of who his master is at all. We have just read that the master was kind and gracious and rewards those who are faithful to him. And it really, he is simply saying, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but don't blame me for it. I knew that you were harsh. That's the language. I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were ruthless. I knew you were fierce. And I know you reap where you haven't sown. You gather where you haven't strawed. In other words, he's saying to his master, his ruler, he's saying to him, you're greedy. You're unfair. You're unrighteous. You'll prey on the poor. I know how you are. You take advantage of others. And I was so afraid that I went and hid my talent in the dirt. Better to hide that one talent than it is to invest it and lose it. Because if I lose it, I know I'll be in trouble. And the whole thing is just a bunch of excuses. A bunch of lame excuses. If you'll stop and think about it a little bit. If he was really afraid, he'd have done something instead of nothing. Do you understand? When he says, I knew, and this is the accusation he makes, and he'll be judged by that accusation. He says, I knew that you were a hard man and you expected more than what was fair. And I was afraid. If he was really afraid, he would have done something. He wouldn't have done nothing. If he was really afraid that his master was going to hold him accountable for making more or doing more than even what was fair, he wouldn't have hit it in the ground. All this is, listen to me, is slothful excuses. Lazy excuses. This faithless, and that's why I called him faithless, because that's what he is. This faithless servant, unfaithful servant, had not in any way tried to increase his master's domain or his master's house. Instead, he just wanted to live the good life, and now he's being held accountable for it. He's trying to blame somebody else for it. And now this judge, the judgment of this faithless servant falls down on him. And the Lord answers him. And I'm going to give you what I believe the Lord answers him. The Lord, the master of the house, says to him, if that's what you really thought, if that's what you really thought, if you really thought that I was a hard man, that I preyed on the poor, if you really thought that I had unrealistic expectations of what I had given you, you would have done something with that money. In fact, he says to him in verse number 26, if this is what you thought, in verse 27 he says, then thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. In other words, at the very least, if you were really afraid that I was going to be unfair and have unrealistic expectations, at the very least, you could have put my money down there to the exchangers. And by that, he's talking about those people who would let others borrow money and charge them interest for it. Now, it was against Israeli law to charge interest to a fellow Israelite. It was against the Mosaic law. They were not allowed to do that. But still, they did it. The money changers, those who manipulated and took advantage of their own people. This man says, if you were really afraid that I was going to come down hard on you, at the very least, you would have done something with the money. You would have at least taken that and gotten a little bit of interest off of it. But instead, you didn't do anything with that money. You were lazy. You were indifferent. You weren't afraid. You were sorry. This whole time I've been gone for years. What have you done with what I've given you? And he doesn't have a good answer for him. He doesn't have a good answer for him at all. In other words, in his excuses, the master or judge sees right through his excuses and says to him, you weren't frightened. You were just lazy and selfish. And in verse number 28 and 29, this curious language is that the master says, take that one talent from him, verse 28, and give it to the one that has 10 talents. For to everyone, notice verse 29, for everyone that has shall be given. And he shall have abundance, or he'll have more. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Can I sum that up for you in just a few words? Use it or lose it. That's pretty good, isn't it? Use it or lose it. The master of the house takes that one talent from that faithless servant and gives it to the one that has 10 talents. And he says, I can't count on you to do what you're supposed to do, so I'll give it to somebody I know I can count on. If you're not going to rightly use what I've given you, I'll take it from you and I'll give it to somebody I know who will use it. Now, that's pretty sharp language, but I think it'd be good we all hear it. His continued disregard for doing what his master had instructed him revealed that this man did not honor his master, did not fear his master, did not adore his master. And he is then taken, in verse 30, and cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What language is that? That's Valley of Gehenna language, right? That's hell language. That's eternal misery and suffering language. So what does that determine for us? What does that tell us? That tells us, as the analogies play out, as the parable plays out, that this man wasn't a true servant at all. He was not saved. He was lost. If he cared, you ready for some hard Bible preaching?
Amen.
If he cared about his master, he would have served him in his kingdom.
Amen.
It needs to be said, it needs to be preached, it needs to be heard. He that has the ears, let him hear. That we've done a real good job as American Christians to draw a strong distinction between obedience and love, between action and faith, when we shouldn't. I preached it. 9 of you were here to hear it, but let me say it again. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
You can talk all you want to talk. You can say what you want to say. But what you do reveals who you are, just like it did with this man right here. You may look like one of the servants. You may even talk like one of the servants. You may dress like one of the servants, but if you don't live like one of the servants and you don't conduct yourself daily about the master's business, then you're not his servant.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you can say what you want to. You can deceive yourself. You can lie to yourself. You can fool your spouse. You can trick your family, but you're not going to fool the one sitting on the judgment seat.
Amen.
There's a reason why Christ gave this parable to say, here's the deal. If you love me, I've given you gifts to use. Use them. But if you never use the gifts that are given to you, that just goes to show you don't love me. You don't fear me. You don't adore me. You don't respect me. You don't honor me. Because if you did, you'd use what I gave you.
Amen.
Offer up unto God all the excuses you want to see, and He'll pile right through them. There's a lesson here, friends. Are you hearing it? We all going to stand before the judge one day. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat."
Amen.
Every one of us to give an account. And our works will be measured. And I'm afraid some of us have got this idea, well, as long as I can skirt up into heaven by the hair of my chinny chin chin, everything will be okay. If that's how you feel, I don't think you're going to make it. If you think I can just slide up into heaven, and as long as I get there, everything's going to be all right. If that's your attitude towards God and His glory, then there's something wrong with your heart.
Amen.
If you don't have a desire to serve the one that gave you these gifts, it may just simply be evidence that you're not a true servant at all. Now, I'm a pastor of this church, and I love you enough to stand up here and tell you the truth. I worry some of you just not saved. Do you hear me? Because if you were, you'd care more about serving Him.
Amen.
To fit this parable in its location is to give us the clear indication Christ is coming. Hey, He's coming. And you're going to give an account to Him. Our Lord is, this is the application, and I've been in it already, but let me get to some of this. The application is our Lord is going up into heaven. He's that man traveling on a long journey, and He's rich. Isn't He rich? He's wealthy beyond all understanding, all measure. And He's given gifts to men. Everybody sitting here. And I believe He's given gifts to lost and saved. And we'll find out the ones that use them for His glory and the ones that don't use them for His glory. There's the separation. Our Lord has gone into this long journey. He ascended up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. But He's coming back one of these days. One of these days that trumpet's going to sound, the Lord's going to come back. And when He does, guess what's going to happen?
Amen.
There's going to be a day of reckoning. He's going to call His servants before Him to give an account for what we've done for Him in this flesh.
Amen.
God has given us all time, treasure, and talents. And this time when I use the word talents, I mean the Americanized version of it. Gifts or abilities. He's given every one of us time, treasure, talents, gifts, and abilities. How have you? I've asked myself, I hope to continue to ask myself this question. How have you used those gifts to serve your master's kingdom in 2016. What if our Lord comes tomorrow and all the time you've had is done with? He's coming, brothers and sisters. We like talk about it. Oh, that's good talking. That's good. Yeah, we like it. Jesus is coming stuff. How about we start living a little bit of it? You don't know when He's coming. There's the parable of the 10 virgins. You don't know when He's coming. You just need to be ready. Not only watching and waiting, you need to be working. All of us. What if our Lord comes and all that I have to bring before Him is what I've already done? If God gave you 5 talents, have you earned 5 talents? What are you going to deliver? What are you going to turn back into God? And you know, I'm not talking about money. We can't give God money. No, He's given us spiritual gifts, spiritual tools to live in and fight for a spiritual kingdom. God gave you, everyone, according, you ready to this? According to your several ability, gifts. He didn't give everybody 5 talents. He might have given you 4. He might have given you 3. He might have given you 2. He might have given you a half a talent. He might. Whatever that it is, you know what He's going to hold you accountable for? What he has given you. Not what he gave somebody else. We're too prone to be jealous of what God gave somebody. Don't worry about what God gave somebody else. Worry about using what God gave you. You know what our goal is? It should be to share our gifts and sharpen our gifts. Now you say, preacher, God didn't give me anything. That ain't true. That ain't no truth to that at all. You got time? How are you spending that time? You know, these servants, the one that had five talents, the one that had two talents, they had a family to provide for while their master was gone. They had needs. They had certain things they had to do. One of five talents, two talents. They took care of their needs. But they didn't just take care of their needs and their family's needs. They also made sure that their master's house was looked after. Their Lord's empire, if you will, was looked after. And so should we. You have time. You have treasure. Want me to preach right here a minute?
Yeah.
God given you each one different means, different amounts of treasure. How have you used that in 2016? Boy, you don't know. Just about every Monday or Tuesday, y'all ready for something? Just about every Monday or Tuesday, I'll call Brenda and I'll say, Brenda, how we do on Sunday? Right? Sometimes I catch them on Sunday night before I ever leave and I ask them. You know what I'm asking when I ask that? How much money did we bring in? You know, are we going to be able to pay the pastor and pay the bills? Boy, if you don't find the irony in this, I don't know. Last Sunday, it was the lowest tithe and offering that we've received and I don't know when. Everybody remember what last Sunday was? Happy birthday, Jesus. You want me to preach right there a minute?
Amen.
I guess most people didn't get paid. We spend thousands of dollars on everybody else, but Jesus don't get nothing on his birthday. I know it'll preach, and I know how quiet it is. And good, because you need to hear it.
Amen.
You've been robbing God long enough. God's giving you a treasure, giving you time, he's giving you money, and he's saying, how are you using what I've given you? Yes, take care of your family. Yes, take care of your needs, but don't you forget that I've given you what I've given you to invest in my kingdom.
Amen.
And that also goes for your abilities, talents. I think you ought to share them. I think you ought to sharpen them. What good is it to take what God has given us and hide it in the ground? Does that benefit anybody? If God's given you some kind of gift, you can do different things for him. I can't begin to make a list. The list is too long. If God's gifted you with certain things, are you using that gift to further his kingdom? Or have you hid it in the ground? You say, well, I was planning on it. I intended to. Never got a first thing done, did it? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. God didn't give you financial resources for you to hoard them up, rather to invest them in his kingdom. God didn't give us years on this earth and ample time to be a witness for him in order to take our light and hide it up under a bushel. Not only our needs and wants, but we need to think about the one that has given us the gift and the talents that he has so that we may invest them back into his kingdom. If God's given you a good mind and a good education, you know you should use it to further his empire. Your reputation, your testimony, your privileges are all gifts from God that we should use to further his work. Let me ask a sharp question because I ain't been sharp enough yet. Did God make a mistake by entrusting you with what he did? Did you hear me? Did God make a mistake by entrusting you with what he did? Or does he not have the right to expect that while his son is on his long journey, you are busy furthering his kingdom? If I may be so bold, and I walk tenderly, gingerly, God gave you what he did because he expects you to use it. You don't want to stand before the Lord one day empty-handed. And he say, I gave you 3 talents. Where's my investment? You say, well, I've got these 3 talents. No, I didn't give you 3 talents for you to hide them in the dirt. I gave you this so that when you come back here, you bring souls with you. You see, that's what the picture is. Because we're in the people business. That's what the real picture is, friend. The real picture is when we stand, but I'm telling you, folks, we have a hard time with it. We're going to stand before him. Just as sure as you're sitting in that pew right now, you're going to stand before him. And you don't want to stand before him empty-handed. You want to have some people say, Lord, because of the gifts you've given me, I was able to further your kingdom. Look at these people right here.
Amen.
Because of what I did, I helped further the gospel. I helped proclaim your word. I helped reach the masses because of what you've given me. Souls that have been reached for Christ. Souls that have been edified for Christ. I don't know all this, and I'm about done. I don't know how all this is going to work. But I do think there's going to be something to this. That we can say, you see that brother over there? You see that sister over there? When I was down, they picked me up. They didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of wealth, didn't have a lot of riches, but I tell you what they did do is they did take a few minutes and come sit down and talk to me and encourage me when I was hurting. That's using the gifts that God's given you.
Amen.
That's being faithful with what he's entrusted you. And dear friends, all of us on that day of judgment will face either reward or loss, joy or sorrow, rest or suffering. How is it with you? Don't be like this last servant who never trusted in Christ, who never believed the gospel, who never gave all of his being to serving his master. Are you trusting that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again that you could have eternal life, and now your life is meant to honor him?
Amen.
Is that how it is with you? There's the parable of talents. I told you when I started preaching this it would be practical. And it gets all up in our business, all of us. Jerry, come. Sister Bobby, if you'll come.